Saints of God, if you brought a Bible, we're going to begin tonight in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. If you'd make your way over there, we're studying the immutability of God. Immutability. God is immutable. It means he doesn't change. Malachi chapter 3 is going to be our text. We'll be looking at a few other places as well. But Malachi 3 and verse 6 tonight. For I am the Lord. Literally, I am Yahweh. I am Yahweh. I change not. I am Yahweh, I change not. God is immutable, unchanging, forever and ever the same. Everything else, anything else, all that we know is changing. Certainly people change. They change for better, some for worse. Some mature, they grow up, some mellow out, you know, some never do, but, you know, certainly people age, and, you know, age does things to people. And think about this, you know, through the years, your tastes have changed. Things you used to like, things you used to want to eat. Things you eat now you would never have eaten before. I can think of stuff when I was a kid that I would eat with a spoon right out of a jar. I wouldn't think about eating that today. Your likes and dislikes change. Sometimes people pick up new hobbies and so forth. I went to a 50-year reunion last year. A high school reunion, and I realized I must be in the wrong place. These are all old people, you know. No, I didn't recognize most of them. I really didn't. I mean, they changed. And I know they thought that. They looked at me and said, who is this old man? But we've all changed, that's for sure. We age, we change. You know, I've also noticed far too often that love can change. That people who once loved one another, you know, over time, can't hardly stand each other's presence. Love was damaged somewhere along the way. You know, we've known people so much in love when they were young, and then people's lives take a turn. I'm going to tell you, without the Lord, I don't know how people make it at all, really, but I see love change. I see opinions change. People who were once firm in one opinion, now totally opposite opinions. I even see where religion has changed quite a bit. Amen. You know, when we were growing up on Fridays, none of the Catholics could eat meat. I mean, I remember that very distinctly. None of the Catholic kids could eat meat. Now, that changed. I remember they all used to wear St. Christopher medals, and they would put the little statues of St. Christopher on the dashboard. Remember the little magnetic statues? St. Christopher got kicked out some time back when they had this big purge of Catholic saints back in the, when was that, the 70s? They had this big purge of the Catholic saints. They got rid of about 90 of them. Wow. So, you know, they used to send all the little kids that died to limbo. Now they say, no, there's no such thing as limbo. I mean, things change, you know. It's just the nature of life. But if you grew up right here, then you know our country has changed. Yeah. I mean, I look outside and I wonder what happened. Look at the news, you wonder what happened. Doesn't seem like the America we grew up in. I know our landscape around here has changed, especially if you ride around different parts of the city. Things that you remember when you were growing up, they ain't there no more, like they say, you know. The coastline keeps changing. Every time we have another storm, we lose more of Louisiana. All these hurricanes have dramatically changed our coastline. Of course, these people, you have to feel sorry for them. The people out west, when they interview them about their houses burning down in these terrible wildfires, entire communities have gone up in smoke. Some whole towns, small, gone up in smoke. You know, these little communities have been there for decades. Things change. Drive by Mount St. Helens, and it's only half the mountain it used to be. Not too long ago, you know, because the volcano changed the very topography. If you went to New York City back, 20 years ago? Yeah. Then there would have been two dominant features that sort of dominated the landscape, these two big, giant, huge twin towers that aren't there no more. I'm saying things change. Our world changes, people change, topography changes, cities change, climate changes. If you listen to Al Gore, of course, it does seem like our summers are getting hotter.
Yeah.
And they claim the ice caps are melting. Is it cyclical? I tend to think so. But I guess the jury's still out on that. But all of these things, just to make the point, God is the one constant. In all the universe, God never changes. He is the one constant. Unlike everything else, God is immutable. Immutable meaning unchanging, fixed, steadfast, unalterable, immutable. In his essence, that is, in his being, in his nature, in his character, God is unchanging and unchangeable. Unchanging and unchangeable. Being eternal, he is above all possibility of change. Immutable. The word mutable, means subject to change. Mutable, subject to change. It means to fluctuate, to be fluid, to vary, to shift. It can change. What is mutable can change. Ladies' fashions, you know. If not long ago we were looking at some old pictures that the girls had from the 80s, and their hair was this big. You know, the 80s hair, the big giant hair, you know, these things change, thankfully. Sometimes they do, yeah. I hope the beehives don't come back, you know. But mutable means changing. It's kind of like the hurricane forecast, you know, when they're trying to tell you where the storm's going to go. It changes with every hour. But we get our word from mutable, we get our word mutation. It comes from that. Mutation is something that morphs and changes. So to be immutable is to be the opposite of mutable. Immutable, not subject to change. Fixed, steady, constant, steadfast, unchangeable. With God, no change is possible. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord. I change not. Let me give you another passage that teaches the immutability of God. James chapter 1 and verse 17. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. With God, the Father of lights, there is no variableness. You know, what varies, changes, it's fluid, it's not inconstant. Neither is there shadow of turning. That's a phrase borrowed from the way they would tell time back then. There were ancient sundials. The shadow would move and give them an idea of what time it was. So it was always moving. Always move. Kind of like the second hand on your watch or the second hand on that clock that's always moving, always moving. Well, with God, there is no shadow of turning. He's steady, steadfast, unchanging. And how about this verse, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. No change is possible in God. He never differs from himself. He cannot change. That's because he can't cease to be what he is. He can't cease to be God. I know sometimes if you see a person you haven't seen in a long time, it can be a little surprising how different they look. They put on weight, lost weight, lost their hair, grew a beard, shaved the beard, lost their teeth, bought some teeth. I mean, some don't walk so good. Some don't hear so good. I mean, sometimes I don't even know if it's the same person, but can be. You know, the passing of years can be brutal. It can be brutal. And you know, they can change in other ways too, not just in appearance, but sometimes people can be very fickle. Like you don't know how they're going to act. One day they're very nice to you. They smile. They're very pleasant. Next time you see them, they won't even talk to you, turn away from you. Like they're afraid maybe if they smile, you might ask them for money or something. People are fickle. Aren't you glad God is constant?
Yes.
That he's not fickle, that he's not changing, that you never know what kind of mood he's going to be in. Like the preacher up the road who said he could tell when he was praying or talking to God, he could tell God was in a bad mood. He was depressed, you know. But aren't you glad that the God you serve is constant and unchanging? And that means he's reliable and trustworthy. I know when we were looking at these pictures of the girls and even of some of the grandkids, you see baby pictures, you know. Boy, those babies are so beautiful, so cute. But you know they change.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they pudgy and you make funny faces and they laugh and giggle. There's nothing as beautiful as a child giggling, a little baby giggling. But you know they grow. Yeah. And then they morph into something unrecognizable. That they no longer laugh at your monkey shines, you know. You make funny faces and you embarrass them, you know, and they don't laugh anymore.
Yeah.
And they change so quickly. But you know, we are creatures that are locked in time. Time is our prison, and we're all captured by it. It holds us captive, you know. We've got places to be and things to do, and the clock is always dictating to us. God, he created time. He's outside of time. It doesn't hold him captive at all.
Amen.
But I was also looking back at some old videos that Kathy's husband made from when the church was in Araby. We going back to the 1980s. And you know, a lot changes in 30 years. I was a kid. And I look at the children that are running around, and they're all grown men and grown women having kids of their own. And 30 years, how we change. But how much has God changed in 30 years?
Not at all.
You sure?
Yeah.
How much has he changed in 300 years? 3,000 years? He's unchangeable. He is the eternal constant.
Amen.
God never changes. He's always and forever the same. You know what changes us? Well, time, circumstances. Circumstances change people. Because you know people who maybe once seemed like they were happy, and but they've had some real setbacks in their lives, some heartbreak, and the circumstances, whatever it was, it changed them into maybe angry people or bitter people or depressed people. Circumstances change. They can change people. And of course, time changes people. But none of that affects God, who is the eternal constant. For God to change, I want you to think about this. For God to change, there's only three ways that God could change. Either he would have to change from better to worse, or he would have to change from worse to better, or he would have to change somehow in his nature, you know, like to morph from one thing to another, like a caterpillar to a butterfly. He'd have to go from better to worse, worse to better, or he'd have to morph in some kind of way to become something he isn't. And that's true for all of us. Whenever we go to the grocery, one of the things that's pretty much a constant on our shopping list is bananas. We take them home, they're mostly green. But if you leave them a few days on the counter, they're mostly yellow. And then you can eat them. That's a change, I think, from worse to better. But if you leave them a few more days, then they turn brown. And that's a change from better to worse. I mean, that can all happen in a very short period of time. But God can't go from better to worse. He is eternally holy, eternally righteous, eternally perfect in holiness. He can't be any less holy. He can't get worse. He can't be less holy. He can't be less eternal. He can't be less omnipotent or less omniscient. He wouldn't be God.
Amen.
He cannot be contrary to his very nature. So God can't be less than what he is. But then on the other hand, he can't improve either. He can't get better than what he is. He's perfect in holiness. How can you be better than perfect? He's absolutely perfect in all of his attributes. In fact, I think we're all pretty familiar with the passage in Matthew 5 where the Bible says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." God's perfect. Perfect in some ways, perfect most of the time, perfect occasionally. No, he is infinitely perfect, forever and eternally perfect. He can never be less than perfect. He can't be less than what he is. Deuteronomy 32, here's an interesting passage. Deuteronomy 32 in verse 4 says, "He is the rock, his way or his work is perfect. His work is perfect, for all of his ways are justice, just and pure and right and holy. All his ways are justice. He's a God of truth," of course, perfect truth, and without iniquity. Righteous and upright is he. He can't become less than who he is. He cannot. He cannot change. He cannot become less holy, less just, less than perfect. Change is inherent in us, being finite creatures that we are. Most of us, you know, a little less than perfect. A joke, right? It's inherent in us, and the truth, if the truth were told, then the truth is this. We need to change.
Yes, amen.
We do.
Yeah.
We need to change. There's so many ways where we need to change and perhaps amend our ways. We need to do better. We need to be better. We need to think better, speak better. There's a lot of ways we need to change. There's things we can do to improve our health. You can eat better.
Yep.
You can exercise more. There's things we can do to improve, you know, our physical strength. But God doesn't need to improve. In fact, God cannot improve.
Right.
You can't improve perfection. He's absolutely perfect in all of his ways. We sing a song, "You're a Good, Good Father."
Yes.
And the chorus is, "You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways." And he is.
Yes.
He's perfect in all of his ways. He's absolutely perfect. Psalms 18 and verse 30 says, "But as for God, his way is perfect." His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. It's proven, tested. It's been proven to be true. And he is a shield. He's a buckler to all those who put their trust in him.
Amen.
All those who take refuge in him. And as for God, we used to sing that. And as for God, his way is perfect. His word is tried. His judgment's
right.
Yeah. So the God you serve, the God of the Bible, is forever and infinitely constant, perfect in all of his ways, unchanging, infinite perfection in all of his ways. He's unchanged by the passage of time. He is unchanged by modern trends and fashions.
Amen.
He is unchanged by the circumstances or events going on in the world. He's unchanged in his being, his nature, his character, his outlook, his purposes. He is, as the theologians claim, immutable. There's an old hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness." Y'all remember that old hymn? "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father." Listen to the words of the hymn. "There is no shadow of turning in thee." Now that's right out of James chapter 1, verse 17. "With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." There is no shadow of turning with thee. And then he goes on and says, "Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not." And then this statement, "As thou hast been, thou forever shalt be." Great is thy faithfulness. I guess it's one of the reasons I love the old hymns, man. They were just loaded with some good, sound, biblical theology. "As thou hast been, thou forever shalt be. Great is thy faithfulness." God never changes. Thou changest not. That's right. That can't be said of anybody else.
Amen.
That can't even be said of the mountains. I mean, sometimes God is compared to the mountains. You know, he's a rock. And because the mountains are, as we think of them, they are unmovable and unchanging. The winds blow, the snows come and go, big storms rage, waves batter the mountains, but, you know, the waves settle down, time passes, the mountain's still there. But you and I both know the mountains do change.
Right.
They crumble, they crack, they deteriorate, and sometimes they collapse, rock slides, and, you know. But God is the one infinite and eternal constant that never ever changes. Only God is the infinite and eternal constant who never ever changes. The strongest man you know will weaken over time. The brightest person on earth will one day realize he can't remember where he put his keys. The healthiest, the longest lived person, 110 years old, but one day they'll close their eyes in death. I'm glad to know. It gives me great comfort to know that the passage of time does not diminish God. It doesn't diminish God like it diminishes us.
Right.
The older you get, the more you realize that time isn't always your friend.
Right.
As far as, you know, our time here on earth. But God doesn't get any older. As thou hast been, thou forever shall be. Can't say that of us. And I'm really glad to know that time doesn't diminish God in any way, manner, shape, or form. That he doesn't forget about you and me, you know, like we forget where we put our glasses or where we put our keys. You ever find yourself looking for stuff?
Yeah.
What did I do with those? Tearing the car apart to find something? Aren't you glad God doesn't forget about you?
Yeah.
Now, what did I do with him? What was that fellow's name again? I can't remember where I put him. I can't remember what he needed. I was supposed to get back to him. That's been a while, though.
Thank you, Lord.
Aren't you glad God's not like you and me?
Very good. Amen.
So He can't improve his knowledge. He has perfect knowledge. Can't improve his strength. He has perfect strength. Perfect in all of his ways. His knowledge cannot be diminished. His strength cannot be diminished. In fact, nothing can be diminished. He can't become more eternal or less eternal. He's eternal. He can't become more infinite or less infinite. How could he be less than infinite? Then you wouldn't be infinite. He can't become more holy. He's perfect in holiness. So, you know, change, just the thought of change implies imperfection. We change, hopefully for the better, mature, get a little wiser. Learn to take some of the edge off, you know, knock the chip off of our own shoulder. But God, the eternally perfect God, is above all possibility of change. Let me give you another passage of Scripture. Psalms 102. This is another one of the great verses that teaches God's immutability. Psalms 102, beginning in verse 25. Psalms 102:25. Of old, thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. Verse 27, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Everything will change. The earth, the heavens, everything. Everything will change. He says they will wax old like a garment, like an old moth-eaten garment. Dry, rotted, and just you put it on, it falls apart. But God, well, He is the same. And His years, no end. You know something else? God cannot become more faithful because He's perfect in faithfulness. He cannot become less faithful to His word. You know, it would be terrible to think that, you know, back in the old days, God was faithful to His word. But now, you know, He's just not faithful like He used to be. No, He's perfect in faithfulness, and He's undiminished by time.
Amen.
He's undiminished by the passing of the hours or the weeks or the months or the years or the decades or the centuries or the millenniums. He is undiminished. His power undiminished. His faithfulness undiminished. We say God is faithful. He is infinitely, perfectly, constantly, forever faithful.
Amen.
So when we read passages like, I am the same, I change not, when you read Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, you know, that should be encouraging. And that if there's a problem on our end, then the problem's on our end. I mean, if there's a problem with why something is going on in our lives and we're not receiving answers to our prayer, the problem is really on our end. It's got to be a short circuit somewhere on our end, a disconnect somewhere on our end. Y'all follow?
Yes,
amen. If there's a problem, then Houston, the problem's on our end because God is perfect. And that means His word. His word is His bond, and His word is as He is, immutable, unchanging, and perfect. Psalms 19:7. Listen to this verse. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now, when you read these passages about the law of the Lord, the margin in your Bible will say the doctrine of the Lord. What it means is the law of the Lord. The law is His word, is His covenant, is His promise, is His statute, is His ordinance, is His commandment. It's all the same. They're all synonyms. The law of the Lord is perfect, the Bible says, converting the soul. Converting the soul. The law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, it will change us. It will change our thinking. It'll change our hearts. It'll change our attitudes. It's converting the soul. It'll turn us back to God. The Bible says, same verse, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Testimony, law, covenant, promise, it's all synonymous with the Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. But what I want to emphasize tonight is that the law of the Lord is perfect. His Word is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. All of this book that you hold in your lap, all of this Bible is God's Word. That means it's altogether right, altogether true. Jesus said, speaking of the Word, the Word of God, speaking of the Bible, John 17:17, thy word is truth.
Amen.
Thy word is truth.
Thank you.
The God who gave us this Bible, gave it to us perfectly. Remember, he's perfect in all of his ways. So if he's going to give us a holy book, is transmitting that book to us something he would be perfect in doing? Would anointing a holy writers to write under divine inspiration, would that be considered something God would do that's perfect in all of his ways? 2 Peter says, chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That is, it didn't come by man's thoughts, man's ideas. It's not a human's viewpoints. It didn't come from the prophet's own mind or his own reasoning. This, know that the prophecy was not tainted by any mere human viewpoint. But 2 Peter 1:21 says, but the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Didn't come by man's ways, will, or idea. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God did not originate with man. It came from God. And the God who's perfect in all of his ways, we have to believe that he perfectly conveyed his word to the prophets. And they wrote it under divine inspiration. And that word that they wrote under divine inspiration, God perfectly preserved for us to this very day. Why would God give his word, inspire the prophets to hear from him, to write the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord is perfect. Why would he give the word if he wasn't going to preserve it from one generation to the next? Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word of the Lord is perfect. That means you can depend on it. That means you can stand on it. That means you can trust God's word. Amen. His word doesn't change. That means it's as immutable as he is. His word is as immutable as he is. That is, it doesn't change. It doesn't die. It doesn't become outdated with the passage of time. Like some books or some things, some thoughts. The Bible doesn't need to be updated. The Word of God doesn't need to be amended. Amen. And you know what should be encouraging to us is that it means his promises to us are ever the same, unchanging, undiminished, and as valid today as when they were spoken 2,000 years ago. They are just as valid because God's word is perfect. If you were to check in your Bible and turn to a few passages of Scripture, you know, I'm pretty sure it would still say, in places like, well, Philippians 4. If you turn to Philippians 4:19, it would still say, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It was valid when Paul spoke it, when Paul wrote it. It's undiminished by the tick of the clock. Its validity still stands. You can still depend on it. And look, that's a huge promise. Amen. But my God shall supply all your need. Thank you, Lord. According to how much money you have in the bank, according to the economy of the world, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, you know, our Heavenly Father, well, you know, he's pretty rich. Being that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, you know, he doesn't lack anything. And if he promises that he would supply our every need, all your need. In fact, I like the way some versions translate it. He will abundantly supply all your need. All your need.
Amen.
All your need. Whatever that need is, food, clothing, shelter, whatever provision.
Amen.
Your need, is your need health? Isn't that a need, a legitimate need? What's your need? Then he says he will provide all your need. We serve a God who never changes. He hasn't changed his mind about that. You won't see where God said, well, you know, that was back then. I do things different now. Now, you know, you need to apply for, unemployment or whatever. Not that that's wrong, but the point being that you still can trust the God who promises to provide your every need, whatever that need is. You can turn to him. You don't have to fret and worry about how is this going to happen? How am I going to work this out? That's not your department. You let God take care of that. Well, how about promises like Psalms 34? Verse 9 and 10, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no lack to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Those are pretty good promises, don't you think?
Amen.
Those are promises, I believe, that when you consider the unchanging nature of God.
Amen.
That his word is ever the same, then these are promises you can cling to.
Amen.
Psalms 37 verse 25 says, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God will not forsake his people. There are things we have seen, but here's what you'll never see, he says. And then you have all the promises, Matthew 6, why are you worrying? Why are you taking thought? The birds aren't worrying. The flowers aren't worrying. So take ye therefore no thought for tomorrow. The morrow will take care of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So your Father knows you need all these things. What are we to do? Trust. We're to trust him. You can trust in the God who has not changed. He hasn't changed his mind. And you can quit worrying, quit fretting, quit wringing your hands and pacing the floor. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing, the Williams Version says. Quit worrying. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. The promises are still valid, beloved. There's no expiration date on any of the promises. It's not like the stuff you buy at the grocery store. Diane always tells me, did you check the expiration date? Go get me some milk, but check the expiration date. Oh, yeah, it expired yesterday. The promises don't expire.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know, the Bible says also in Hebrews chapter 6 that it's impossible for God to lie. Because, you know, that would be contrary to his nature. He can't be less than what he is in his nature. He's perfect in his nature.
Amen.
He doesn't lie. He's not like the God of Muhammad, who might tell a lie, to deceive people intentionally. He's not like that. He's not like the Mormon God. He's not like the devil gods of the world. Though our God is constant. He's not fickle. And then, you know, there's other promises that are powerful and profound promises of healing.
Yep. Thank you, Lord.
Promises of salvation and forgiveness. You know, that hasn't changed either. I want to encourage us. I know that we've talked about aging and battling things as we grow older, but I want to encourage you to remember that the promises are valid no matter how old they are or how old you are. The promises remain the same. He said he heals all of our diseases, Psalms 103. He said believers would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. He said, if there's any sick among you, let them be anointed with oil in the name of the Lord. Let the elders of the church pray for them. Prayer of faith will heal the sick. The Lord will raise them up. He says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. He still says, I'll take all of the plagues and sicknesses that I put upon Egypt. I won't put them on you, for I am the Lord, your physician. You know, these promises are given. They're not qualified by, well, you know, we have to obey the Lord. We have to walk in the fear of the Lord and obedience to the Lord. But they're not qualified with little asterisks that say this offer expires in 30 years or in 30 days. No, this is for us to believe and to lay hold of. When the Bible says, by his wounds you were healed, by his stripes you were healed. You know, that's still true. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says he was moved with compassion and he healed the sick. The leper came to him and said, Lord, if you will, you can heal me. In Matthew chapter 8, if it's your will, you can heal me. And you know what the Lord said? It is my will. It is my will. Be healed. He hasn't changed. His plan, his purpose, his promises, none of it's changed. I do believe that we should trust the Lord to keep his promises in our behalf. Amen. No matter what we're going through, let's hold on to the promise. The promises don't expire even as we get older. We can pray, we can trust, we can believe. And if you're battling a physical thing, keep battling.
Amen.
Keep believing, keep trusting, keep confessing the word. I mean, you know, when he's unchanging, his attitude towards sickness hasn't changed. The Bible says, Acts 10:38, how God sent Jesus of Nazareth. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. His attitude towards sickness hasn't changed. His attitude towards healing hasn't changed. His attitude towards sin hasn't changed. What was a sin in the Bible? Well, you know, God doesn't amend the Bible to fit the moods and the whims and the trends of society. Remember, he is the eternal constant. His terms of salvation haven't changed. That hasn't been altered or modified. He still saves one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's not another way, an alternate route, not a bypass road that you can go around Christ. There is no going around Christ. You're going to be saved. It's going to go right through Jesus Christ. You know what else hasn't changed? The fact that damnation is also promised to the unbeliever. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he that believeth not shall be damned. That's some pretty strong words.
Yeah.
He that believeth not shall be damned. That hasn't changed either. That's God's attitude towards the unbelief of multitudes. Brother, you had a question or a comment?
Check. Okay. Good.
Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19 says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And we understand that we're under a new covenant, and we understand that, you know, we're not under the law anymore, and we understand, you know, we're under a better covenant. So, you know, my understanding is that, you know, God's ability to interact with the world, and even do things that he hasn't done before don't necessarily change his character. But can you, like, expand upon that, or do you have any thoughts upon
that? Well, in his nature, in his essence, in his character, he never changes.
Right.
Nothing has changed. He made promises to Israel, and those promises remain. No matter what happens in the world, he's going to do what he promised. He made promises to the people of God, all the people of God, that no matter what happens in the world, he's going to do what he said. So that none of that affects his character or his essence. He doesn't change in his essence. He established right from the beginning that there would be an older covenant and a new, but that has no bearing on changing his essence, his nature, his character, or the validity of his promises. So nothing changes in God or with God in any way, manner, shape, or form. And the way to salvation is still the same. You repent and you believe the gospel. In fact, when Jesus went preaching, Mark chapter 1, that's what he preached. Repent and believe the gospel. That was his message. And you know why he preached that people should repent? Because people can change. People can change. God never changes. But thank the Lord, people can change. I mean, you and I changed. You're not the person you used to be. And the people we pray for, aren't you glad that people aren't fixed or set? Even though you might think they are, this person is set, they are fixed, they are never going to change. In some cases, that may be true, but they have the possibility of change. They can change because God gives them the opportunity to repent and believe the gospel, which brings about a mighty transformation. Bad men can become good men. Evil people can become nice people, decent people. The ungodly can become godly. And God's still not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, look, people can and do harden their hearts towards God, but that's on them. That's on them. God does allow people to choose what they will do. Some, it's like the Lord wept over Jerusalem. Oh, you know, how I would have gathered you under my wings like a hen gathers her chicks. But he says, but you would not. You refuse to come to me. So it's possible that people can harden their hearts towards God. But it's also possible that God can change even the hardest of sinners. There are some men who in the past were tremendous, mighty giants of the faith, who once said, men like John Newton, who said, I was the vilest sinner on the face of the earth. John Bunyan, the fellow who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, he said, I was the vilest sinner on the face of the earth. Paul the Apostle, the man who gave us 14 books of the New Testament, said, I was the chief of sinners. But there was a call to repent that they heard and believed. And that's why we're commissioned also to share the gospel, because change is possible in every man, woman on the face of the earth, in every part of the world, no matter what age they are, change is possible. That's why we're called to give them the gospel message. Doubters and unbelievers can become believers. Praise God. And what else is eternal is unchanging, and that is the fact that at death it's heaven or hell. That hasn't changed either. So we want to make sure that we're ready.
Amen.
And that it's heaven. So God is immutable, unchanging, unchanged by the passage of time or circumstance, ever the same, fixed, steadfast, eternally, infinitely faithful. I mean, he's always going to be God. So no matter what's going on in the world, he's always going to be a place of refuge and safety and peace and comfort and provision and blessing and healing. Father, I do pray that you encourage our hearts tonight. Expand, Lord, our faith, and let it reach out and believe that you are who you reveal yourself to be. You are the God who never changes. And for this, Lord, we are thankful. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your attention. God bless you. Have a blessed week. We look forward to seeing you in church.